Lola Oldsmith is being interviewed today as a member of the Women's Overseas Service League San Antonio, Texas unit. Today is January the 15th, 2004, and we're recording at the Army Residence Community in San Antonio, Texas. Ruth Stewart is interviewer, assisted by Carol Hapgood. Lola, start in by telling us a little bit about your early life.
Well, I was born in B Branch, Arkansas, 1935. We were poor farmers, and my folks moved after a year when I was 1 year old. They moved to California, where we stayed for about till I was 8 years old. And then we came back to Arkansas, and that's where I went to school and graduated from high school at B Branch. And from there, I had decided that I wanted to be a nurse and follow in the footsteps of an aunt who had previously graduated. And so I went to the same school she did in Little Rock, Arkansas. Went to St. Vincent's Infirmary. It was a 3-year diploma school. Following that, I worked for the VA hospital in Little Rock, and later I transferred to Atlanta, Georgia, looking for more excitement, of course, and I worked there for the VA hospital. And then, just looking for more excitement, I decided that after seeing an ad on TV one day about the Army needing nurses, I decided to myself, well, I could do that. But I went to the Air Force recruiter and asked for if they sent nurses to Vietnam. And he says, no, but I think the Army does. So I then went to the Army, and they asked me if I had 10 friends who wanted to go with me.
They were eager.
So that's how I got to the Army.
Okay. And how did you get started then in the Army? Was it difficult for you?
No. I was a little older than most of the other women who joined at that time, because so many of them were out of nursing school, directly out of nursing school, and then some were coming out of the Army's RAIN program, so they were all, I've had a little more experience than most of them, and came here to San Antonio for my basic orientation supposed to have an assignment, interim assignment. I had a guaranteed assignment to Vietnam. How naive. And I was supposed to go to Fort Ord, California for the interim. And, but 2 weeks before we graduated from basic, they called 13 of us nurses aside and told us we were going directly to Vietnam. And that's when I started getting chills up and down my spine. But we stuck together. So we had our assignment to travel to Vietnam. The 13 of us were together, and we went out of, what was the Air Force base you told me long ago? Out of San Francisco. We got on the plane, and we were traveling by commercial plane, of course. And there the 13 of us were on a plane full of men, all going to Vietnam. That was sort of a weird feeling. And it was a long trip. Stopped once in Japan. We weren't allowed to get off the plane. Then we stopped in Okinawa, and we were able to get off the plane at that point. for a short time. And then when we landed in Saigon, it was like midnight. And you look out the window, you could just imagine all kinds of things going on. But we landed at Tansanut, and we went into this little building where we were treated to canned Cokes. And canned Cokes were very unusual in 1967. It was my first time to see that. And we stayed there through New Year's Eve, because it was New Year's Day that we traveled up country to our new assignments.
And when you hit your new assignment, what was it like, and what was your reaction?
Well, we had met with the chief nurse at the replacement center, and of course she let us know that we were needed, and everybody was looking forward to it, being there, coming in. And when we walked into the replacement center, the hospital, I guess I didn't have any idea what to expect. When I first thought about it, I didn't expect to have flush toilets or hot running water, because we thought the nurses were living in tents. But at this particular place, they had built the hooches. It was built in a triangle, a quadrangle.
Mm-hmm.
And there were two people to a room, and we did have hot and cold running water, and we did have flush john. So I was very surprised at the accommodations that mm-hmm. we had that much. Now, the hospital was a Quonset huts, rows of Quonset huts with covered walkways between them. Found out there were two hospitals in this particular village where I went. It was in Quinyon, which is it was on the coast, about halfway in mid country, halfway up the coast. And one of the nurses in this group had been my roommate in basic, and we thought we were going to the same hospital, or we'd asked to go to the same hospital. We were put in the two hospitals in the same village, and it turned out the whole year I was there, I think I saw her one time, that whole time. Of course, you soon meet up with the people you work with, and that becomes your family.
Mm-hmm.
The chief nurse was very nice. She told us that her policy was that every nurse that came in, since our hospital had a prisoner ward, that you worked in the prisoner ward for 2 weeks to begin with, and which I did. And it was at that point that I became disenchanted with the war, I guess. Before that, I was very dovish, hawkish on the whole thing. But once I saw the prisoners and, found out they were just people like us, and they were just serving whoever fed them. That was my impression, that whoever brought the food in, that was who they would serve. Of course, that's a long way from politics. that was just down at the very basic level.
Mm-hmm.
But then I, following that, I went to the recovery and surgical intensive care ward, which was combined, and we took care of all the post-surgery patients and kept the sicker ones. And that was GIs and prisoners alike. We took care of everybody. Lots of different experiences there. We worked 12-hour shifts. We would work 7 to 7 at night for a while, and then we'd switch and work the day shift for a while. And most of the time, we were able to get 2 days off a week, even though we were working these 12-hour shifts, till it got to a crunch time, and then we were lucky to get a day off then. I was there during Tet, 1968, and that was rather exciting. There was not any active fighting in this village where we were. It was mostly out in what we call the valley from us, and also the rock, the Korean army was stationed out in the valley, and the scuttlebutt was that the Vietnamese were so afraid of the Koreans that we were safe, you know, because they were between us and the enemy. But during Tet, there was an assault made on the radio, local radio station.
Which was American military?
No.
Local?
I had the impression it was a Vietnamese radio mm-hmm. station. Okay. Now, the American communication equipment and everything was on a big high mountain right behind us, and that was one of the things that they were trying to do, is get up the mountain and destroy the communication. But we had helicopters coming right over the quadrangle where we lived, shooting into the mountain on one of the nights during Tet.
But that was the closest from as far as
as far as far as my experience, yes. Mm-hmm.
But you got casualties from all of that.
Mm-hmm. We did.
Yeah.
And I never had to work in the emergency room. I don't know if I could have handled that very well or not. At least when I got the patients, they had gone through surgery. And that was, of course, that was traumatic too, because a lot of young men waking up with lost limbs, it was pretty traumatic. And things were quiet during that year. It wasn't always real intense. We would do what we call med caps. We'd go out to the village and just do like a sick call for anybody who wanted to come in.
What'd you call that?
Med cap.
M-E-D.
Medical civilian, I'm not sure what it means. Medical civilian
assistance
or something like that.
Sort of like a clinic, on-the-spot clinic.
Right. And we also visited the orphanages and sort
of
did
the same thing. Tell me more about this MedCap experience. Think of one day that you went out there and what it was like and the people that you saw.
And we also visited the leprosarium, but which was, not too far away. But the one MedCap that I remember, we went into a fishing village and we walked. It was very close to the water. We walked through all these little huts, and we finally, it seemed like there was a porch there, and that's where we set up. We had our equipment and all set up on this porch, uncovered, and the doctor was there, and if he wanted to listen to somebody's chest, he would. It was just no table or chairs or anything. It was just the porch.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very superficial coverage as far as what we could do.
What kind of conditions were you looking at there? or that appeared for you.
Yeah. Seems to me like it was mostly skin conditions and things like that. I really don't remember much else. Mm-hmm. I don't remember taking any patients back with us or I'm not sure exact how extensive that was. I just don't remember if there was follow-up or not. Mm-hmm. And then when we went to the leprosarium, the highlight of that was lunch.
Fed you well?
Oh, yes. The French nuns were very good to us. And I don't remember, I'm sure the nuns were asking for certain things for their certain patients, but I don't remember anything.
Did
about
you
that.
Do something while you were there, or were you just observing?
Mostly observing. And looking around, they had just like a village, you know, everybody with their separate little houses and everything. And it was very beautiful because it was right on the beach and there was bougainvilleas, you know, and beautiful shrubbery and trees. It was just beautiful.
So as part of your Army Nurse Corps duties in Vietnam, you were being a diplomat too.
She would say that, yes, because another incident, we took care of civilians, and we got this young man in who had been a victim of an attempted assassination, and he'd been shot into the mouth, through the mouth some way, and he was bleeding. Well, the Vietnamese didn't have the capacity to give collect blood and give it. So he required several blood transfusions because of the bleeding in his mouth. And I became friends with his sister, and I sort of got the feeling they were fairly well-to-do people because of his intention to be a mayor of a village. Mm-hmm. He was being groomed for that. And I was invited to their home on one occasion for a dinner, and that was quite
very interesting.
Interesting to do that.
What did they feed you?
I can remember shrimp, boiled eggs. I remember, and vegetables, but I don't remember what kind. Fruit was always very good there. Pineapple was delicious. But the shrimp is the main thing I remember. Mm-hmm. And we tried to correspond a little bit after I left the country, but it was almost impossible to get mail back and forth at that time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And trying to think of...
Were you at that same location throughout your Vietnamese tour?
Yes. Our hospital was moving right as I was leaving. It was going to go up country from there.
How long were you there then?
Almost a full year. Just a half a month short of a year. I went on R&R twice. And that was sort of a different experience too. Went to Australia the first time. And the nurse that went with me, got there on a Sunday and nothing was open, and we finally wound up going to a movie, but it wasn't near where our hotel was, and we went downtown for a movie, and coming back caught a taxi. Well, as soon as we got in the taxi and started talking to the driver, he knew instantly that we were Americans. And he says, "Oh, R&R girls." He says, "We're used to R&R boys, but we don't get R&R girls." So he insisted. When we got back to the hotel, he turned the motor off, and we sat there and talked for a good length of time. And then he insisted that his family take us sightseeing. And he and his wife and one or two children, I can't remember, came the next day and took us sightseeing up the coast and took us to the zoo. It was just unbelievable. And they kept wanting to do more and more for us, and they finally, we were trying to get out of it, you know, and they insisted, "Well, come have tea with us." Well, we thought tea and that would be it. We learned our lesson. Turned out tea was, of course, dinner. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they were very nice to us, very gracious.
And where was your other R&R then?
It was to Hong Kong, which was a very exciting city. Lots of shopping. That was fun, too.
Did you have any of the kind of experiences with local people that you did in Australia?
No. No, I did not. Mm. No. They were just hustling to make you anything you wanted made.
Yeah.
Suits, shoes, anything, dresses.
So actually, overall, in your experience in Vietnam, you said you really virtually turned from being a hawk to a dove there. Did that remain with you throughout that?
I felt that we were fighting a losing war. That's just what I felt like. And that we were not giving it what we needed to win the war.
Mm-hmm.
One thing about it, though, on coming back, I've heard so many people talk about the bad experiences they had on coming back to the States from Vietnam. I never had that. I was always cautious, of course, but when I got back, I was at Letterman, and I worked there in thoracic surgery and cardiovascular surgery. I did that for a short time, and it was another thrilling experience for me, and I kept thinking, what am I going to do after this? That I just felt like the freedom in nursing that we had in Vietnam, and then the experience at Letterman, I felt like that anything from there would just be a letdown. And so I went on recruiting at that point. And I was mostly visiting nursing schools in Northern California. And I showed films about nursing in Vietnam, and generally it was well accepted. I know one time particularly, one student got very upset over the film. It bothered her because of some of the surgery that was being done.
It showed the actual surgery?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was the removal of a bullet from an eye. But we were very proud of military medicine in Vietnam. The word at that time was, if a soldier made it back to the hospital, less than 1% died. And we really thought that was, we were proud of what we were doing. Medically speaking.
And you still feel like it was very well done, what you were doing there?
Oh, yeah.
Overall, it was very good.
I thought the medical care was terrific. And the people who really fought under duress and bombing conditions, you know, mm-hmm. people who were fired upon, mm-hmm. Really, they were all just outstanding. One experience going back to my early days in country during Tet. One night I was on night duty and there came a great explosion and it was just rocked everything and it blew the electrical outlets cords out of the outlets in the wall. It was so tremendous. Well, we of course thought we were under attack. We later found out though it was somebody got into the ammunition dump and blew it up. So, and it was several miles away, but it was a horrendous.
It was an enemy action.
Yes. But I was so scared. We had to throw thin mattresses under the beds. You know, we had those tall beds. We threw thin mattresses under the bed and would put the patient under the bed for protection. I lifted a Vietnamese lady, pregnant lady. Of course, she wasn't a big lady, but I lifted her by myself, went down on one knee and stuck her under the bed. I was, my adrenaline was so high. The next day, my legs were so sore, I could hardly walk. from that action.
Yeah. But your back survived.
Yes, my back did survive, yes. Yeah. Another thing, at the time I was suctioning a patient, I think, in the recovery room. A patient had a trach, and of course those things came out of the wall, and we had to makeshift there. That was about the biggest experience from during Tet, from that. So where would you like me to go to now?
Well, then you were in Vietnam about a year,
mm-hmm.
and then you went back to Letterman,
mm-hmm.
and how long were you there?
I was there a little over a year. And
was
then
that the extent of your tour and or your Army experience? Or did you stay in the Army?
I stayed. Then I went on recruiting from there, and I was assigned in the San Francisco area.
Okay.
And I stayed, there on recruiting for Army nurse recruiting for a little less than a year, and then a position opened up in Atlanta, Georgia, which is where I was living when I joined the Army, and to be the coordinator of the nurse recruiting for 9 southern states and Puerto Rico. So that's where I went next. And that, of course, was at the drawdown and eventually the end of the war in Vietnam because we were getting out of that country. And of course it was a cut down on in military personnel too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had told you earlier I graduated from a diploma school. I had been going to night school because I had the time there. And catching up on some required courses before, and then I applied to go full time to get my undergraduate degree, and I was accepted at Medical College of Georgia. So
was this with the Army?
I was still in the Army,
mm-hmm.
and I was able to go there, and within a year, I got my degree.
Bachelor of Science.
In nursing.
BSN. Okay. So then did you stay in the Army a little while longer after that?
I did. From there, I came back to San Antonio for the advanced course, and which is was a 6 month course. That was 1975, the beginning, January through June, and it was one of those very mild winters in San Antonio, and I just thought this was the most wonderful place in the world. And I said, this is where I want to live. And from there, then, after completing the course, I went to Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. I stayed at Fort Leonard Wood for 2 years, and I was a head nurse on a general surgery ward for part of it, and head nurse in the emergency room for part of it. And I was still undecided about what I really wanted to do, and looking for the next assignment. They offered me recruiting again. I went to Fort Meade, Maryland, where I stayed for 2 years, and I was again the coordinator of nurse recruiting. And at that point, I decided that I wanted to get back to San Antonio. So I resigned my commission. I resigned from active duty. I did not resign my commission. Resigned from active duty, transferred into the 94th General Hospital here in San Antonio.
In the reserve. And what year was that?
1979. 79, yeah. It's unbelievable.
So how many years were you in the active duty?
I was on active duty for 12 years, and I went into the reserves as a major by that time, and I stayed with the reserves and retired as a full colonel.
So how many years were you in the reserves then?
12 years.
Oh, 12 in active and 12 in...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And okay. Then that's when Desert Storm came along, and our hospital was activated, and we were sent to Germany. Our whole, the whole hospital personnel, where we were just scattered throughout the country, you know, just assigned to different hospitals throughout, because we were expecting the injured out of Saudi Arabia to come back through Germany, mm-hmm. And that's what we were expecting. And they were very needful in Germany, because they had depleted the hospitals there from military personnel, medical personnel. They sent them to the desert ahead before we got there. And so they were really needing more personnel there.
And your experience in Germany then was how long?
We stayed there 4 months. It was January to April. It was very cold.
What year was that?
91.
Of what year?
1991. Uh-huh.
Okay. And your experience in that kind of a situation in the Gulf War, how did that compare to Vietnam in terms of your own feelings about it or your own response to it?
Well, I think it was totally different. And of course, the country, it was totally different for the country too. And we were just very thankful that we didn't see the casualties that we could have seen.
And you didn't get many of the casualties mm-hmm. then at all?
I think I saw one.
You were really just staffing the routine.
That's right. We just were there. I think the civilian personnel were very happy to see us. Dependents, I'm talking about, not mm-hmm. personnel. Mm-hmm. Civilian dependents were very grateful that we were there because their care had been cut down drastically. So we returned back home, and I had planned on retiring before we ever knew we were going to be activated. That we got back in May, 1st of May, and by November I had retired from a reserve unit. Mm-hmm.
In reflecting on your military career, what do you feel that you gave to the military and that the military gave to you?
Well, I'd like to talk about what the military gave to me. Being a diploma graduate, I was very unsure of my capabilities and what I could do. I felt like I was just a nurse. But, you know, that's the way I felt. But after being in the military and having so many different experiences, gave me more confidence and assurance that I could ever dream about. It was really good for me. And in turn, I think I gave all I could to my duties and responsibilities. But I was very grateful for what it did for me.
Mm-hmm. What were the specific highlights, not necessarily dramatic ones, but what stands out in your memory when somebody asks you about your experience in the military? I mean, it might have been Vietnam or might not.
I'm not sure. I really don't know how to answer that. I'm just very proud to be part of it. And but as far as any one incident, I can't. I really can't think of anything.
Okay. Since you left the reserves, have you joined any veterans organizations?
Well, I think the Overseas Service League is my first experience with joining an organization. And I'm finding that very interesting, being able to work with wonderful ladies that I'm meeting there.
And what do you do besides then with your life, now that you're out of the military, out of the reserves?
I've probably spent most of my time with my community, with my neighborhood. I joined the our Homes Association, and I served as president on it for 4 years, and I'm still active with it as the secretary and doing different things with it. And that's probably my biggest, more time-consuming than anything else I do.
Trying
promoting membership in that. And
is there anything else that you would like to say about your experience or your feelings or your contacts in the military or since then that you'd like to add in now?
Well, once you've been in the military, there's a closeness there that you don't experience anywhere else. And even when I was in Vietnam, and the feeling that the whole group had, we knew that it wouldn't last, you know, that once we got back to the real world, that we wouldn't experience that anymore. And but likewise, you have that on a similar way with the people that you work with or signed with. Mm-hmm. In the military. And I think it's even more so now that when you meet up with people that you've shared common interest with.
The bond is still there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, we really appreciate your taking time to do this with us, Lola, and to add this bit of history to that of our country, the military, the women in the military, and nursing.
I hope it will be useful.
Thank you.